Hello, and welcome to People of the Pod, brought to you by American Jewish Committee. Each week, we take you beyond the headlines to help you understand what they all mean for America, Israel, and the Jewish people. I'm your host, Manya Brashear Pashman. According to a recent survey by Hillel, a majority of Jewish college students, 56%, say their lives have been directly touched by anti-Semitism on campus since October 7th. Likewise, AJC's State of Anti-Semitism in America 2023 report found that 20% of current and recent students reported feeling or being excluded from a group or event because they're Jewish. That figure was only 12% in 2022. That's one of the reasons AJC and Hillel expanded a partnership this week to improve that climate on college campuses and make sure university administrators know how to support their Jewish students. We wanted to know what a supportive campus environment looks like. Here to give a student perspective are Eitan Sanger and Seth Schlack, two Jewish student leaders at Binghamton University, the flagship State University of New York. Seth, Eitan, welcome to People of the Pod.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm hoping you can share with our listeners what it's been like to be Jewish on campus there in Binghamton. Can you kind of give us a picture of Jewish life on campus both before and after the October 7th attacks on Israel by Hamas?
So the Jewish community at Binghamton is known to be one which is very strong. There's roughly over 4,000 Jewish students overall. Many students are active in Jewish life. On Friday night, you can find over 500 students having dinner at Chabad. You can find hundreds of students involved in prayers, either on the daily basis or over Shabbat or different holidays and things like that. Events that you see on campus with the Jewish community are packed and bustling all the time. You walk to class and you see people with kippot, Israeli flags. Really, you know that you're a part of a college that is a place that is welcome for Jewish students. And certainly on October 7th was something that was needed for us as a community to know that we have people to turn to. And obviously, we were in the midst of celebrating a holiday, which was supposed to be a joyous holiday, celebrating the beginning anew of the reading of the Torah. We were supposed to be dancing, singing, having food, having a good time. But instead, that's very quickly turned into a realization of the facts and things going on in Israel, acknowledging that there was the most Jews killed in a single day since the Holocaust, which of course dampened the mood, especially for people like myself who had just spent a year in Israel the previous year and felt such a deep connection to the people of Israel, to the land, to the whole fabric of the society there, and have family there and have things like that, where it's like really there was a worry of everything that was going on and a trouble in processing everything that was happening.
What was the response on campus in the aftermath?
We saw the whole community come together within the first 24 hours after the holiday ended. We held a vigil in main campus with over 700 students gathered from the community, people from outside the community as well, who were there to stand united together. Our rabbi, actually, where Seth and I, where we go to a lot of the prayers on Shabbat and the community, we find part of the OU JLIC community. He actually went back to reserves to fight in Israel within 24 hours and was fighting there and was actually away from Binghamton, away from the students in the community, away from his wife, away from his family for almost 8 weeks in the immediate aftermath. And so that definitely had an impact on us and was something on our minds continuing throughout everything that was going on.
I'm going to interrupt you here. And just to note for listeners, you're talking about Rabbi Ben Menorah of the Orthodox Union's Jewish Learning Initiative on campus, father of five, and a commander in an IDF infantry reserve unit. Go on, please.
We were able to look towards the fellow people in our community who we felt the responsibility for, knowing that we were all going through a tough time together and knowing that we all had some connection one way or another to things that were going on. And so people were there for each other. People continue to be there for each other, and people are still doing things to be there for each other as the war continues to progress. And I'm sure we'll go more into this later on, but also the fact that we had an administration who from day one showed up for the community, was at the vigil on day one, was at Chabad in the first few weeks, and really went out of their way to show that we know what just happened, we acknowledge the severity of it, and we are here for the Jewish community, even when, and this has been explicitly said by the president himself, even when We know that other administrations at other universities are not there for you at the same time. We know it's our responsibility to be there for you.
Yeah, I would say in all aspects of the community, whether you're walking down the spine, the main part of campus, you see all these Jewish students, whether it's an organization who's tabling for an event that has a connection to Israel, or it's the administration showing up at a Hillel dinner to spend some time and just talk with you about how you're doing and how the administration is doing their part in making this tragedy and calamity in Israel, for us being so far away, having a very large support system and being able to have someone who we know has our back is amazing.
Well, as we've learned, no university is immune from anti-Semitism. I understand the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement has tried to make inroads there in Binghamton this year. Some students have encountered anti-Semitism online or at protests. Hostage posters have been ripped down. So it's by no means peachy keen.
So definitely, as Seth and I have both said, we are very proud of the strong Jewish community we have there. At the same time, of course, there are still things which are on the minds of students when going about their lives on campus, in terms of whether it's a rally held chanting slogans, which obviously do not make Jewish students feel any more welcome on campus, whether it's an event that was being hosted with a pro-Israel speaker that was met with signs around a room saying that you guys are complicit in genocide or things like that, which definitely make students think twice sometimes about, okay, do I want to be going to this event? Am I in a class with a professor who may judge me a certain way because I share my stance or things like that? And so that's definitely, unfortunately, not something that we can say does not exist here at Binghamton. And there have been circumstances of protests, of specific incidents that have occurred where different students feel different ways about those incidents, about those protests and things like that. And some are, let's say, more nervous when they walk around and things like that. I think we both agree on here is the fact that the overall nature of the campus climate and with the administration's support has been one comparatively more welcoming towards Jewish students. I personally do not feel scared to walk around campus with my kippah on. I'm not hiding my Judaism when I'm walking around campus, which doesn't overshadow the fact that there are incidents which cannot be ignored and cannot be understated, but is definitely something that is presently being thought about.
Eitan, you mentioned that you spent time in Israel between high school and college. Is that common among the Jewish community at Binghamton?
Yeah, so both Seth and I have spent gap years in Israel. There's a really significant population of Jewish students here who have spent gap years, also because Binghamton gives credit for spending a gap year in Israel, which is a really helpful tool to a lot of students who, let's say, are really interested in taking a gap year, but are worried about it delaying their college process more. My program alone last year, I was at Oraita, which is a yeshiva in the Old City of Jerusalem. And there's 8 students at Binghamton who are on my program alone last year. And there are plenty of others from different programs across the country who are at Binghamton as freshmen. And then, of course, later on as well. And so that connection to Israel, of course, is stronger for those who spent a full year there.
So I do want to highlight that there is a personal connection between Binghamton and the horrors that unfolded on October 7th. Seth, you are friends with the family of Omer Neutra, one of the 8 remaining American hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza. He was accepted to Binghamton with plans to attend, but joined the Israel Defense Forces during his gap year. Seth, what else can you tell us about Omer?
So I've always looked up to Omer as someone who really understood and knew what it meant to lead. I was a member of his U.S. bar chapter when he was the president. He was on board there. He moved up a level and he became on the board of the division, of the Long Island division. And then he eventually became the president of the entire New York region. And I think that it was, for me, it was really always natural to see him at the forefront of the room, but also being able to have a conversation with everyone in the room and being able to make everyone there laugh, smile, and really be proud of themselves and be proud of their Judaism. Omer also valued Israel, of course. I mean, that was probably one of his, still is one of his main connections, one of his driving forces. Both his parents are Israelis. He's the grandson of Holocaust survivors. He is always smiling. He really enjoyed, you know, friends, family, basketball, big sports guy overall. And we know that he had a connection to Binghamton, and we know that he was accepted here. And we want to make sure that this was a place where we can acknowledge that and acknowledge that it's not 5,000 miles away. This is something that has happened right in our own campus and something that we know that we can bring to the forefront.
And that brings me to the event in the university's basketball arena last month. It was organized by the Zionist organization there at Binghamton and Omer Nutra's family. Can you tell a little bit about how many people participated and who participated?
Yeah, sure. Before the event, we had a gathering in the parking lot of the event center where the game was being played. We had about, say, 150, 200 people at the game itself. So we all gathered in the parking lot. We heard from Shira Kohler, who is a family friend of Omer and whose brother is a lone soldier in San Khanim. He fought in Be'eri in the first days of the war, and Ira is fighting for Omer and all the hostages. During Ira's time in Gaza, it was very personal. Hannah Slavsky, another one of Omer's friends from Plainview, who grew up with us, as well as Bailey Khan, whose brother was on the volleyball team where Omer was a captain. And they all spoke about different parts of Omer and about who he was. And then we finally heard from Omer's father, Ronan, who made the trip up to Binghamton and was able to kind of bring us all together and share a bit about his son and was able to thank us for our tireless work. And obviously we want to thank him, but we were definitely doing this really all for Omer. Every single part of this event was someone that we wanted to make sure that like Omer was present at. So from there, we went down to the basketball game. Throughout the game, we held up signs. The group held up signs with Omer, pictures of Omer from his time in high school, where he was wearing his Binghamton gear and showcasing him and his connection to this university really made it a special event. We had the tagline, hashtag Bing stands with Omer. And really, that was the whole main part of the event, was that we are here with him, with his father, with his family. And we're here for you, Omer.
The pictures I saw of the fans at the basketball game were so incredibly moving. The spectators holding up pictures of Omer as if they were watching the game with him. It was really quite sweet to see. Were most of the students who participated in the event Jewish?
I think while we had a lot of Jewish students, there were definitely a couple non-Jewish friends who were able to join. A lot of students who grew up in the New York area here. So a lot of them felt connected. A lot of Jewish students felt connected. Or they did went to this camp. Worth Ever Manayak went to Salman Shetter and was part of USY. So a lot of people here know him through one facet of life or another. So there were a lot of students that necessarily like had that connection, and also kids who had never known him, as well as other Jewish students and non-Jewish students who joined us.
How has the university's connection to Omer affected the climate there on campus?
So as I mentioned, from the first 24 hours of October 7th, the community here was immediately getting together and putting together different rallies, different vigils, different events and things like that. But there's something a lot more special about an event where you have a personal connection to, right? Often at the rallies, at the marches and things like that, you hear the phrase, these hostages are our brothers, sisters, friends, and things like that. And right when our peers, when they're walking around campus and they see us holding signs like that as well. But for us, it's really not hyperbole to say that we have friends there, we have family there, because there are people on this campus who are family friends with the Nutras, who know Omer personally. And really, when they're saying They want to bring their friends home. They are talking about someone who is their friend, who is someone they've spent time with. And they're talking about someone who they've played sports with and want to continue playing sports with. And so it's really not an exaggeration or it's just something that we're merely saying, but really a reality of the situation here, that there are people like Omer who are still held hostage, who have personal connections to people across the country. The reason this issue and the reason this conflict is making such an impact and is something that people are investing so much time and advocating for is because of that reality of who is still held hostage and the connection that they have. And that has certainly shifted and shaped the way that we have come together here at Binghamton and the way we have advocated. And in fact, after we had hosted the basketball game event for Omer, which had received coverage locally, Congressman Mark Molinaro, who represents Binghamton, actually went to the House floor and made a speech about Omer, about his situation, and about the fact that he's supposed to come to Binghamton University based on the advocacy of the community here and based on the things that we have been doing to really put his name at the forefront of our efforts and the forefront of why we care about what's going on.
I'm curious, and this question is for you, Seth, since you played such a key role in organizing that event in the basketball arena, and you spoke about Omer being such a leader. And I'm curious if these events of the last several months and missing Omer have propelled you into kind of an unexpected leadership role that you never saw yourself in.
So I think as a leader, I definitely would say in the roles I've held since I've been in high school, whether it's been, I've been the chapter president of my USY or the president of the Jewish Student Union chapter in Plainview, or now in my role on the JISC executive board here in Binghamton. It's been something that I've always wanted to do. And I've always saw myself as someone who wants to approach people across the room and want to make sure that everyone feels like they could go up and speak. I think since October 7th, all the leaders I've been able to look up to, in addition to Omer, being able to see that each one of them has brought me to where I am today, brought me to a place where I feel comfortable being a leader, wanting to grow myself as a leader even more, and someone who really, I think, has been a part of that is Omer.
Well, I'm sure his family so appreciated what the community there in Binghamton did. The pictures I saw of the event in that arena were just incredibly moving. And I'm sure that when he sees them, he will be incredibly moved as well when he comes home. So thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you really for having us. It's been a pleasure to share our story.
If you missed last week's episode, be sure to listen to my conversation with Grammy-nominated reggae singer, rapper, and beatboxer Matas Yahu. We discussed what makes him Jewish and proud, the impact of October 7th on his musical and spiritual journey, and how at almost every show on his current national tour, he has faced anti-Israel protests. The prospect of such protests led three venues to cancel his shows. Thank you for listening. This episode is brought to you by AJC. Our producer is Atara Lakritz. Our sound engineer is TK Broderick. You can subscribe to People of the Pod on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or learn more at ajc.org/peopleofthepod. The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the positions of AJC. We'd love to hear your views and opinions or your questions. You can reach us at peopleofthepod@ajc.org. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to tell your friends, tag us on social media with hashtag peopleofthepod, and hop on to Apple Podcasts to rate us and write a review to help more listeners find us. Tune in next week for another episode of People of the Pod.